Right. Good morning, everybody. Well, good morning from the UK. Good evening in Oz and maybe mid-morning in Europe. Really lovely to see everybody. It is the 5th of December. And I've got some fun stuff to share with you today, and we're going to be super open for coaching around all the good stuff, all the challenges, whatever's coming up for you. So let's just spend a few moments getting here. Just good to do a little bit of somatic regulation stuff, right? Just helps us all to kind of soothe a little and sort of get here. So just want to invite you to put your feet on the floor and do notice if you're like, oh, I hate this bit. I just want to point out, if you are resisting this little moment of regulation, that's a really good thing to pay attention to. That may just be a little protective story that's going on, right, around getting on with things for all of you fellow overfunctioners out there. So just know any moment you spend paying attention to yourself is never going to be one that's wasted. All right, with that said, just invite you to feel your feet on the floor. Just feel your seat holding your body. If you want to close your eyes to go inside, please do. Just know that you're held, that this moment is for you. Let your attention wander into your belly. Just invite your belly to soften. Just sink into your seat, relax. Let your attention wander up the back of your body, up to your shoulders. You may want to give them a little roll around. Invite them to soften. Stretch out your neck if that feels good to you. Bring your attention up to your head and down the front of your face. Let your jaw relax. Just come down into your heart. Just notice what's here with you today. Notice what emotions might be present. Just recall how much sleep you got last night. What's already happened this morning. How that's left you feeling. Just notice how much energy you have today, how much courage. Just offer yourself a little thank you for making this time and space. Come into this group and be part of this experience for your own growth and a sense of camaraderie, advocating for your work in this way. Just cast your mind over the last week. Remember all the things that you may have completed towards your goal. Maybe there's things you've avoided or put off. You might have thoughts and feelings around all of that. Let's see if there's anything that wants to be talked about, if you're bringing something today. just trust that it's important, that it will help whoever's here. You may be doing the courageous thing and voicing something that they don't quite have words for yet. So when you're ready, just give your toes a little wiggle. Come back to the room. Back to here and now. Hey everyone. Nice to see you. The whole energy just goes, it's lush. I can feel it from here. All right. I just want to let you know that the chat is open. If you know you're bringing something today, just give me a little wave in the chat. Just put your name and I'll come to you on a first served. I wanted to share something with you that I think is much in the way that we talked last week about meaningful action and passive action. I wanted to talk a little bit today about the kinds of, so that was more sort of the behavioral stuff, like the what we do stuff. And I wanted to talk a little bit today about the what we believe stuff, right? The things that might get in our way or can work kind of to help us and support us and sometimes can feel like the biggest challenge of getting your goal complete is actually inside of you, right? So I just have a couple of little notes for you. Sometimes it can be helpful to see this written out. So I just wanted you to start to see the difference between thin stories and thick stories. This can be quite a helpful distinction to know about. So our protectors will tell us thin stories. Thin stories are usually devoid of nuance, devoid of context, and they can feel like facts. So thin stories can be things like, well, you're just not good enough. There's nowhere to really go with that, right? You won't finish this, or you don't finish things. Right? Thin stories tend to be pretty straightforward, short sentences, don't give us much room. I want to give you three examples that you might come across or have already experienced. And please feel free to just give me a hand raise if you are like, oh, I want to share something around this. Okay, so the first one is all or nothing thinking, right? If you've ever come across all or nothing thinking, you probably know what it feels like, right? It's the kind of what we were talking about last week, the fuck it, chuck it sort of approach, right? One thing hasn't gone right, that's it, it's over, right? If any of you, I don't know, we're a group of mostly women here, so if any of you might have tried this thing called a diet, don't know if you've heard of that, I'm jesting. You may have sort of had that thing where you get to a, you know, 3 days in and then you have something that's not on the diet, it's not allowed, it's a bad food. I'm using very extensive bunny ears here. And so you go, oh, well, that's it. Then this does not work for me and I'm now not on the diet, right? It's the all or nothing. It's a form of perfectionism. Yeah. So, just notice that for yourself. Anyone recognize themselves in all or nothing thinking? Yeah. Very much relate to that, Candida. Yeah. Yeah. And a few hand raises in the room. Yeah. Yeah. All or nothing thinking. It's a classic one. And when you think about it, it's a really thin story, right? It's sort of crazy, really. Like one tiny thing has not gone either the way I planned or the way I imagined in my mind. And so I'm binning the whole shebang. Yeah. So fascinating. Okay, so all or nothing thinking, that's one we're sharing. Globalizing. This is one that's a little more subtle, and it's just about noticing the way you describe often protective beliefs, right? Things like you may use words like everyone, no one, always, never, right? So it's quite global, absolute language. Everyone else has their shit together. No one's going to want to work with me. This never works out for me. This always happens, right? Notice that kind of language, how we use that as a kind of stick to beat ourselves up with. Really thin stories, because there's nowhere to really go with them. We think we're reporting the news. This always happens to me. I knew this was going to happen. This always happens. I always do this. Always end up here. Anyone relate to globalizing? And this is the thing is, our words are spells, right? We create our reality from the words we use, particularly the words we use to describe our own reality. So it's good to pay attention to that. Oh, look at me saying never, when actually I can't possibly know that that's true because I'm not dead yet. And I haven't tried something new yet. Right? So globalizing and emotional reasoning. I feel like this, therefore it must be true. It's a thin story. Right, emotions last around about 90 seconds before they turn into something else. Even really intense emotions will kind of move up and down a sort of ladder of intensity over periods of about 90 seconds long. And yet we can make pretty big decisions based on a 90 second temporary state. This hasn't gone as planned. I feel angry, irritated, sad, disappointed, rejected, blah. Therefore, here's what I'm going to do or not do because of that. So we use our emotions to make decisions. When actually, when you're in a pretty regulated state, right? When you're like we are now, where everything's okay, you're safe, your body is pretty calm. You're feeling into where you're at. Everything's okay. So this is a great place to make decisions from. You're not activated in any way. So emotional reasoning. Anyone relate to this? Anyone made decisions on the basis of emotions? Yes, And sometimes it's interesting, isn't it? Because there's a lot of hard yes for Andy, love that, and cats love it. Sometimes I think we really privilege the heart over the head, right? Because we're trying to sort of disrupt this very sort of head-based, rational, everything type world that we all live in, right? So we're like, listen to your heart. Sometimes that's not great either, right? Because that can lead to emotional reasoning. So this is why I think self-trust is super helpful because it's about discernment, using your intuition and your intellect. What feels about right? It's not usually, a kind of hard and clear decision or choice. There's usually a bit of nuance to it. So yeah, emotional reasoning, globalizing, and all or nothing thinking, great things to look out for. And just a way to thicken the story, right? So whenever you find yourself in these thin stories, you notice it, and that's the first step to changing anything, right? Is that growing awareness. To thicken the story, just ask yourself one question. What else could be true? What else could be true? That question can get you out of all kinds of pickles. All kinds of pickles. The thing to also notice, the reason why I suggest this question to ask yourself over every other potential question, is that partly this is to do with neurobiology. I'm just going to stop the share a little bit. So partly this is to do with neurobiology. When we are in our thin stories, we're in a part of the brain called the amygdala. You've probably heard of this. This is where our fear sort of center resides. This is all kind of metaphoric-y. I don't think we really know this. Like every time I look into neurobiology, I'm a bit like, it's a bit woo, isn't it? It's a bit of a punch, but no, it's hard science. There's a part of our brain that apparently controls our fear response, right? Our stress response. This is the fight, flight, freeze, fawn type response. That's where our thin stories come from, right? Thickened stories are in a different part of the brain called, I think it's the hippocampus, which is more creative. It's more where imagination is stored. The same part of that part of the brain is what else could be true. It makes us think more broadly, makes us expand our sense of perspective around whatever the context is, right? So the idea that we would try to resolve a fear response, a thin story, from that place is really, really hard. Right, but if you go to a totally different energetic state, a totally different perspective from what else could be true, and you're more creative, more broader, expanding the possibility, you'll find different answers. It also has a lovely meta effect in that when we are more creative, we find it easier to access what's called the flow state, which you probably heard of, right? Which is where you kind of lose track of time because you're doing something that's totally absorbing, right? That is, you know, we're on the path to that flow state when we're in a creative thinking place. So by asking yourself that question, what else could be true? You shift out of that thin fear response. You go to a place that's more creative, and you're having a kind of somatic effect on your body where you're actually getting into a calmer flow state. You probably won't get there like in this answering this question, but it's kind of on the road too, right? So it's definitely a more helpful, healthier place to sit and to come up with responses to those thin stories than it is to stay in the thin story. So that question, what else could be true, can give you like, it's almost like a hot air balloon out of, you know, a difficult spot. It just takes you straight up and then you get to see, oh, what else could actually be true? Maybe I'm just hungry, right? Often that's my thing. I forget to eat and then I'm getting irritated and I'm like, oh, I'm making strategic decisions about this very precious thing, my business, because I'm hangry. It's not good, right? It's not a good place to be, right? Sometimes it's because, oh, I'm thinking about some other thing that's going on in my life and I haven't resolved that. So it's getting tangled up in this current situation. Sometimes it's because I'm trying to avoid something that is difficult or confusing or overwhelming. And I don't like that feeling, so I'm trying to escape out of it. And it's so much easier to get into that bucket chucket place than it is to sometimes feel the disappointment or whatever that feeling is. So all to say, these are very natural human responses, right, to these experiences. And getting into that vibe of, oh, what else could be true here, can really help you to sort of access a more resourced state. More creative state. Yeah, I love that, Sonia. Hungry, thirsty, cold, or need a wee. That's the checklist, right? It's such a great one. Yeah. I love that. So I just wanted to share those with you because I think that all or nothing thinking, emotional reasoning, globalizing, these are all ways that we sort of, don't help ourselves. Really understandable really understandable responses to what might feel overwhelming or difficult or disappointing. But there is a way through that that can get you into a more resourced state. What else could be true? So, I am just going to check the chat to see who. Does anyone want to share anything about all of that? And then we'll get into coaching. Is that helpful to know? Yeah, Anne.
Yeah, so I've been in that place for the last couple of weeks or last week or so. So I was thinking that I'd got some work and I was going to start that work, and then it's been delayed. And so I've kind of gone into this, I'm never going to work. I'm never going to have any work again. And been actually not knowing that question, but I think I have been trying to think about, so what's the evidence for that? So I haven't asked that question, but I've been kind of going to myself, so what is the evidence there? Where, you know, let's look back over a 30-year career, and how many times have you not worked, and how long have you been out of work for, and et cetera, et cetera. And also, this work's been delayed. It could still happen. It's just not happening now. And so, yeah, so that's been, it's been an interesting kind of like week or so, but yeah. And I think I'm using it as a bit of a, I'm procrastifaffing at the moment a little bit. And probably just doing like you said, just kind of like, oh well, that's it. I'm not going to work again, so I won't bother doing anything. And it's all so there's a lot of that going on for me at the minute, but actually I think doing this, and even though I'm not kind of feeling like exactly on top form or whatever, I'm really kind of, this is really settling for me and really, really starting to help resource me, I would say.
I love that so much. And, you know, it strikes me, Anne, that you've done this really brave thing, right? Where you've set out on your own. And in some ways, this is, you know, probably up there with something, you know, that you may be fearful of or worry about, is that work doesn't come in. And so that is actually a risk that is realizing right now. Right. So it's so natural that you would be like, holy crap, all or nothing. You know, like it's a kind of natural response.
Yeah.
Makes so much sense. And yet, I love that you're just going into, well, hang on, over 30 years, how many times have you been out of work? This may still happen. What can you do to, you know, create other work? This is not the only work in the universe. So what else might be out there? So good. I think, you know, what you're describing is, you know, that ability to kind of come back to yourself and support yourself rather than make it mean something, that there's something wrong with you. That is like a really, such a great approach to take. And for some of us, we need to start with, this must mean something's wrong with me, and then work our way up to where you're naturally coming in, which is, okay, let's look at how we can, you know, find the evidence for what's actually true.
Yeah. And in my last job, I didn't have a great experience and was made to feel less than. Actually, maybe I should put, I allowed that to happen, because that's sort of where I'm getting to, actually. So although, because it was all like 3 months ago, it was all about other people and particularly my old boss, etc. But actually, where I'm getting to now is realizing, actually, you let that happen. And I'm not beating myself up about that, but I'm actually trying to think, well, so how can I make sure that I completely see myself as being fully resourced, and I can deal with those things in the future. So it feels like a real kind of period of growth, in a way. But yeah, you still have that little demon on your shoulder who goes, hey, yeah, 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 and you're just like, oh, piss off.
And that little demon is, you know, that I think is the part of you that is a bit frightened.
Yeah.
Right. And so it makes total sense that that comes up when scary things happen, right? And when you're not employed, your income is a sense of security and safety. It makes total sense, you know? So yeah, fantastic. Love your response, Anne. That's so cool. So cool.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to share anything from those three thin story examples? Good. All right. Iris, raising your hand for coaching.
Hey.
Hey.
Is that happening now or am I too early?
Yeah, it's happening now, right now.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I'm reading the cues right.
Yep, you are doing beautifully. How can we help?
Okay, so this is one of those things where I'm not quite sure how to put it into words just yet, but it's just something I've noticed recently. So actually it relates a bit to what Anne was sharing about work coming in. So I've had a good year. I've had a really excellent October and then like slower November and December. And I am panicking slightly, even though I know that this happens. I know that there's ups and downs. I know that December is historically not the best month in the universe for me. But I think that's making me feel a bit shaky. And I'm also just feeling a massive end of year exhaustion. And what's surprising me about this is just how much it makes me think, like, why bother? This is all way too hard. Like, this whole self-employment thing. Why am I doing this to myself? Which is a bit funny because I'm actually at the most stable place that it has ever been. It, like, my business has clearly proven to me that it's a thing and that it's okay and that I can live off of it and that I'm likely going to live off of it better in a few years' time than I am now. But right now, like, with just that tiredness, with just a bit more slower work, I'm just suddenly starting to feel like, well, maybe I should go look at a job. This bookkeeping stuff is way too hard. I would like an accounting department, please, which is strange because I really don't like being employed. I do not like it. I don't survive it very well. It makes me go cry in bathrooms. So I'm just feeling a bit wobbly and I'm unsure what on earth is going on.
I'm curious to know, you said it's the bookkeeping side of things that you're doing at the moment as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Is that your favorite thing in the world?
Well, no. And it's been the main thing I've done outside of just client work. It's just understanding bookkeeping since like July. So that's a long time to deal with understanding things that mostly just feel like punishment or like bad things waiting to happen. I mean, it's been like empowering in the sense of being like, right, this is a business because I have all these things I legally need to do because I am a business. So that's been the upside. Almost like me going, right, this is the thing that this is a real business. But the downside has just been how scary it feels, and that even though I'm doing all the bookkeeping, I'm still in the middle of it, so I actually don't have numbers to look at yet to fully understand how much money there is or how much money is going to have to go to taxes I already owe because I've crossed the VAT threshold. And I think that is not helping either. It's like I can't even look to my numbers and go, right, I understand you, because they're not very meaningful right now.
And like how much longer do you have to go to sort of get a handle on all of that?
I always think it's another week or two and then it's like another month. So I'll say maybe about another month or so. But what has definitely changed since I started Bravehearts is that I have gotten accounting help, so an actual person. I've switched to a fancier software that makes my life a lot easier than the cheap version I had. So there's definitely an end in sight for the first time. and I'm just almost like running into the last few technical issues right now. So there should be an end to this, and then this shouldn't be so painful anymore, because I'm doing 2 years of bookkeeping at once right now.
Right. Okay. So it's like a catch-up project kind of thing. Yeah. And so once you get to the end of this, the bookkeeping project, let's call it that, what do you imagine you will be focused on then?
All the scary bits and the fun bits of, you know, when I'm not in survival mode of, oh my God, my business is going to burn down if I don't fix these problems. Then I want to focus on, you know, the course that I want to create and just doing some things so that I do other things than just one-on-one work, because that I love that, but I only have so much capacity for it. And I'm aware that, you know, if I get sick or something, that's bad. So I'm really, it really feels like a big next step. So I suppose that's also part of why everything feels well, like just right on the edge of something.
Right. And I noticed that your first instinct wasn't, well, I'm going to get this bookkeeping sorted and then I'm going to go look at wanted ads.
No.
Right. Like that didn't seem to be the next priority, was to go look for a job.
No.
Right. So I wonder if, you know, if the thin story is, I should look for a job, this is too hard. What else could be true? Oh, there are aspects of running a business, i.e. bookkeeping, that I do not enjoy, that are necessary.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. And then also what's also true is that I can outsource a good chunk of that and spend some money on that, and that's okay. A business can do that. You don't have to do it all yourself forever. But I think there is also something, I don't know what the thin story is exactly, but something about how good it can get, because I didn't really think I could have a business that just supports me and just do that. And now I've done it 2 years in a row where it has been okay and I have been able to support myself. So so now, like, working one-on-one and being booked out is okay, is not making me have panic attacks, but then the next thing is sort of giving me panic attacks, the whole, oh, and then I make choices about my business and how I'm going to grow it, and I'm going to actually have the time to do that. That I think is bringing up stuff, and probably part, I really feel like I'm having getting cold feet.
Yeah,
like, not that I'm seriously thinking about quitting, but I'm just surprised almost by how much just like two slower months and me suddenly having time to work on the bookkeeping or work on whatever else, how much that's thrown me, when that in many ways was what I wanted. I wanted to have a bit less one-on-one work so I could do other things.
So I wonder if, Iris, there is almost like a risk of success here, that you've got some resistance around.
Yep, I think that's pretty accurate.
And sometimes there's a bit of hand holding often that goes with the risk of success and the risk of complexity. You see, complexity is a bit like overwhelm. It's like, if I get more successful, what, you know, who would I have to become? What would other people think? What would my, how would my life change? What other responsibilities may I, you know, might I be subject to? All of that can kind of come up when you think about success.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, you know, because I sometimes feel like I'm getting away with something because I'm not working 40 hours a week and I can, and I'm fine, and I get to work on something that's really meaningful. So that already feels like cheating the system a little bit.
Right.
And then to have it grow into something bigger or more prosperous or with other fun offerings that I'm really excited about, that I think that just feels a bit much. Like, just feels like asking for a bit much.
What else could be true? This feels like too much. What else could be true?
It could also be true that it's just a very natural next step in my business, that it really, that I've just worked, served the same people for enough years now that I understand their problems, so I can actually offer them other things than just one-on-one. And I've done like the field research into what solutions they need.
I'm just thinking it could also be true that your business is allowed to be fun.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm having some moments where I just go to work to my desk in the morning to do not coaching calls, and I'm actually enjoying it and looking forward to it. And I think that puzzles me a little bit sometimes, that that just feels so easeful and nice, and that I genuinely want to sit there and put in the hours.
Your business gets to feel like a love affair. Yeah. And, you know, that may just be something to play with, Iris. Like, what are some beliefs, like the what else could be true type beliefs, that are really supportive of you right now as you integrate this level of success that you're experiencing? You know, that could be a thing to ponder, right? Like you may need to sort of spend a little bit of time looking at some trees and going,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is a bit about integrating.
Yeah.
Well,
and I think that's always my kind of go-to whenever someone says, it's like I'm cheating, or I feel fraudulent, or I'm getting away with something. I always think, maybe there is something that just needs time to integrate. And, you know, it occurs to me, because I do think the universe has a sense of humor, what perfect way to integrate than to spend time actually putting all of your numbers in order and having to take the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
To digest all of the income that's come in, all of the costs that have gone out, all of the ways that you have stewarded this lovely business forward to where it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost perfect that you have to spend this time integrating through this way.
Yeah. It very much feels like a slowing down. I mean, I have to look at every damn invoice and download it and blah, blah, blah. Like I'm really touching everything that's happened in the last 2 years. And I actually have also done a financial assessment thing to be like, is it healthy? How are the costs versus profit? And it is healthy, apparently, according to my accountant. So I'm not making this up. And I'm also aware that the more I understand all this tax stuff and all the rules and complications, the more I understand that, the easier it is to branch out. And to do courses and things, because that can always mean legal structures need to change because Germany's complicated. So, but I'm more ready to do those things without making mistakes versus just making mistakes and then having to clean up after, which is also actually a pretty calming thing to think about.
Yeah. I wonder if even just saying this all out loud is like, how are you sort of feeling about all of this right now?
I'm actually feeling a lot calmer, or it almost feels like funny to me now saying it all and going like, oh my god, I'm having such a panic attack, because first of all, past me would be like, excuse me, we have a business. I'm very aware that most coaches don't make it to having a coaching business like that the odds are really stacked against you. And I'm here, and I've persevered through all this. And yes, accounting is terrifying, or doing new things is scary, but it's also fine. Like, it's really fine. I can do it, and I probably just need a bit of a winter rest. And then I can do whatever's next.
Yeah, I love this. And what I notice, Iris, is as you kind of calm down and slow down and sit with where you're at, your healthy self is like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to see this. Yeah. It's all in there. Yeah. So good. You know, one thing I would offer, and this is just something I've been practicing over the last few years, is every time I check my The app that sort of lets me know all the payments that come in, I check that every morning, and I'm really grateful, like, for every single payment that comes in. I'm like, thank you. Like, I'm really trying to acknowledge, like, oh, I really take this seriously. Like, if someone's going to choose to invest their energy and time and money in working with me, it's like, really, I see it as healing themselves through this work that I'm sort of channeling from some other source. That's kind of how I see it. It's all like, we're all in this together a bit. But I'm like looking at that app going, ah, dude, I so appreciate you. I really recognize the value of you doing this. And it feels to me very much like, what a courageous thing to keep investing in yourself, you know? And so I wonder if there's a way that you can also, rather than every damn invoice I have to, do you know what I mean? Because we can get like that, right? Because the numbers can be not our favorite place when we are a bit more conceptual thinkers. But if there's a way that you can bring that sense of gratitude and belief in yourself and in this work and your clients, if you can bring that even to this process, which is a bit tedious and not your favorite work.
Yeah, no, I'll have to think about that. I'm sure there's a way. I mean, I get to look at every client's name, for example, just with all the invoices. So it is a nice way of even remembering that I didn't work with all of them. And one thing that comes up, as you say, about that looking at the money that comes in, one thing I'm noticing is that when I'm in this more panic state of like, it's not enough, this month is going to be a slow month and I need it to not be, is that when I do have payments or I do have a new client sign up, instead of being very happy or just feeling calm and good about it, it feels more like, well, what's that going to do? Which is really not the attitude I want to have when I have someone new sign on. Like, it's amazing. It's just as amazing when it's a slow month or it's a big month. And so, yeah.
I think, you know, we all get a bit better at going, oh, okay, at this time of the year, it's a bit slower. So I need to hold some in reserve. You know, when I have a big month, like, keep, you know, what my cousin says, it, store your nuts, right? Like, for winter. So, you know, we're trying to store your nuts so you've got a little bit left over when they are slower months. And that just means that, you know, you start taking care of yourself and you're kind of advocating for what you might need in the future. It's a really healthy way of being in relationship with sporadic income and all of that jazz.
Yeah.
Nice. So good. Really love that, Iris. Yeah. Does that help you?
Yeah, it does. I feel calmer. And I think the main thing I'm sort of taking away from the stuff I was saying is that I'm just tired and I need a winter rest and I'm going to look at numbers and have a lot of cups of tea and that's kind of it. Because I don't need to change the business to be a massive different thing. The one-to-one is amazing. I can slowly do whatever else needs doing, but there's no reason that any of this needs to happen in 2 months. There just isn't.
Yeah, the urgency is often self-imposed.
Mm.
Really cool. You may even want to say, okay, on this day, from this period to this period, that's my Christmas break.
Yeah, I mean, I have an official Christmas break, so, which I'm very excited about, and it's a long one.
Cool. So good. Thanks, Iris. That was brilliant. Really cool. I'm sure lots can relate. Candida, hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Not too bad.
How can we help?
So I guess I will just give my situation at the moment. I guess my worry is next year I want to set up my coaching practice. And some of you have probably heard me ranting about the company I currently work for. But I have handed my notice in. I'm on my last 8 days, which is amazing. But I feel like, and I know this is coming from like a critical fear place, but I'm just really worried about next year because, like they say, it doesn't, you know, all the buses come at once. So like I've had a particularly tragic family funeral recently, I split up with my partner, I handed my notice in, and I'm doing like a grievance, a formal grievance, because they're still treating me really badly. So I'm having to go through like those meetings and get that still done whilst still kind of just being a bit ignored in my workplace. So it feels like quite a horrible end to what has been a really, really what's the word for it, intense job. Like, there's been, I work with students and I'm given students every month, and there have been amazing people I've met. So it's not to say that it's all bad, it just feels like a bit of a sour end, which is a shame. So that's happening. And then it's like, oh, okay, so where do we get the energy to plan for like next year? And it's not to say that it all needs to be done now, but I think it's that kind of element of thinking, will I be able to do it? Because I think I get it, there's a lot going on for me with all that stuff, so my depression feels quite high at the moment. And a couple of weeks ago, I like planned all these courses that I wanted to do, and I planned it all out in like a 2024 diary, and then realized I'd over like busied myself. So I was glad I sort of did it and then took some time away from it. But I'm scared of like trying to make things too positive and trying to run in the other direction and then not being able to cope with it, and it falling apart. And I say that also because I have done that before.
Yeah.
So yeah, long bit of a long one, but that's where I am.
Perfect. Not too long at all. Just want to really acknowledge all of the loss that you're sitting in right now. And yeah, that's a lot. Like, one of those things would be a lot.
Yeah.
To have all three, four things kind of going on at once is a lot. No wonder you're feeling a bit shaky, a bit wobbly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just really want to affirm that for you. Like, you know, it sounds like you are responding to this with a ton of grace and resilience. And I'm so sorry this is all happening at once.
Yeah, it's always the way, isn't it? I don't know. My friend was saying, she was like, a couple of months ago, she's like, oh, you're doing really well and things are going really well for you. And then, like, she described it quite well. She's like, do you feel like you've just kind of fallen down the stairs back to the bottom?
Oh, God.
No, we're good friends. We're very good friends. So it's what she was getting at.
Like snakes and ladders. Yeah.
Yeah. And not that it's that simple, but
yeah,
a little bit, yeah.
Well, you know, what I would offer, and just echoing what Andy's saying, you know, just offering a ton of tenderness and compassion to yourself right now. I always think about this, and this helps me. I don't know if this will help you, but I always think when there's a lot going on, small moves are best. When everything feels possible and you sort of feel quite safe, that's a good time for big moves. But when there's a lot of like uncertainty and a lot of like wobbliness, like when you're feeling quite solid and oak tree like, big moves, right? Stretch your branches out. When everything feels a bit wobbly, small moves are the best. So, you know, I think you're really onto something here around, oh, I think I've overextended for next year, right? So maybe that sense of worry about, I'm not sure what's going to happen next year, I'm not sure how much capacity I might have. You know, maybe that is actually, you know, a really healthy response rather than a fearful one, right? Like, you can trust yourself to kind of know, right? That's really your discernment. And it might not look like what the world says, launch a business, go big or go home, right? But when you come back to yourself and your own knowing, your own discernment, oh no, smaller moves might be best, right? So there's that, right? Small moves. And if we start from there, I mean, I would say that the courage-based planning approach is really going to support you, because it is about what's the smallest, safest next step. How much courage are you feeling today? That's the thing to do. And don't discount that those small moves won't add up to something pretty amazing. If you take one action every day, you are nearly 400 steps closer to where you want to be in a year. A year, you can achieve so much in a year, right? Just through those small steps. So one of the things I heard you say was you have all these courses that you want to launch next year. And what I know about a business that's that with that kind of structure, where it's like lots of things, you can only really do one at a time, right? Because you can you imagine like trying to market more than one thing at a time? It's crazy, right? So it may be that you just go, okay, what is the one thing that I know people are going to want? And start with that. Start with that small move. Because once you get, because this is the thing, the same amount of work's required for one course as it is for six, right? In terms of the, getting the back end systems working, getting all the bits talking to each other, all that kind of stuff. Once that's set up, once, you can then replicate it. So it's not, I mean, in a year, you may have several courses running, right? But to start with, maybe you just need one. Get good at creating, marketing, selling, delivering that, and then you can kind of exponentially grow from there. How does that land for you, Candida?
Yeah, it makes sense. I think it's more like, I think there's also like a fear of missing out, because I go in, I mean, I guess we all do, but I notice that I go in waves of lots of capacity, lots of energy. So I put loads in and then I burn myself out. So I stop and I kind of go on this cycle. So I think one of the things I'm sitting with is I started making these contacts and networks. And, you know, I've said, oh, I've got this course. And I know in the past I've gone, oh, like it's just dropped, and then I feel like it's too late to get back in touch, or the, you know, the momentum isn't there. So I think you're completely right, and I can definitely simplify it, and that would make a lot of sense. I think it's just yeah, it's simplifying it, but it's all the normal worries of like, okay, well, am I going to have to, because, you know, I've basically been pushed out of my job. I wanted to stay in this job that I know, like the back of my hand, and run things very slowly and build things up slowly. I can go and get another job to do that. But obviously I recognize that that would be like adjusting to that job and then building something. I feel like a real distrust in myself. I think that's a problem. I just don't trust in my ability to read my capacity, actually. I don't think I'm very good at it. So I'll kind of go, yeah, it's fine, I can do it, like, honestly. And then I'll just finding this medium just feels really, really tough. But also, I guess, maybe there's a frustration, like I just, and again, this completely speaks to, you know, the pressure that we put on ourselves, but like wasting time or thinking like, am I even meant to set up a business? Should I just be doing something really simple that pays my bills and I just don't have to worry? Sorry, it's all a bit jumbled, but yeah.
I think that the jumbledness makes total sense because you're on the precipice, right? It's still a maybe, right? There's an idea that's becoming reality here. Becoming a thing. You're making decisions at the moment and you're making them from a depleted place, right? So the kind of capacity, trusting in your capacity, trying to predict in the future how you're going to feel and all of that jazz, that makes total sense right now. And I wonder if the analogy that I shared with Iris can support you, right? Storing your nuts, right? That actually, when you have that burst of energy, it's okay to not expel all of it, right? It's okay to almost like raise the bar, raise the level of your bottom capacity, right? By not giving all of that energy away. Because I think that's where we develop some trust is, you know, can I trust myself to follow through on the small stuff? We build up that capacity to keep promises to ourselves. You know, and that might just start with a couple of things that you do each morning towards your business, you know. And, you know, you're also making decisions about the best way to support yourself right now. And you mentioned you've got options, you know, you could get a job and build this another job and just build this business up from on the side. That's still an option available to you, I think. And, you know, and I know it's so many people that have had sustainable businesses that have started that way. That's certainly how I did it, is I trained as a coach and then, you know, went down to sort of 4 days a week and slowly built up a practice on the side. It took 2 years. Now I think, what of it? You know, in the time I was like so impatient to go full time. I felt like that was a massive milestone. But I'm so glad I did that because it meant that my bills were paid. I could still contribute to my family, and it took the pressure off. I wasn't marketing from a place of desperation. So sometimes a day job alongside a business can be a massive blessing. You know, this is all about approaching these decisions that you're making from your healthy adult self, right? Rather than the part of you that's like, you know, the wobbly part that's kind of going, okay, it's almost like you've got to be your own parent right now, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And then so this is the thing, I can feel that the fear is growing.
Yeah.
Because it feels like just the decisions need to be made. Yeah. And again, that is potentially a pressure I'm putting on myself. But, you know, it's that kind of thing, isn't it, of everyone at work's like, you know, what are you doing next? Or,
yeah.
Or like the students that have gone through my course at work, I don't want to lose them. So I'm like, right, I need to put them in a container somehow, somewhere. Yeah. Until, you know, and I've said like I'll be in touch in the new year, so I know I've got till January, but it kind of feels like I don't want to lose them. And
so just notice, right, there's a lot of external stuff that's contributing to some thin stories here, right?
Yeah.
And if you think about all of that, right, like your current situation and the current context that you have, and just thinking about January, February, what are you going to wish you had done? The one or two things that you wish you would have done now?
The first thing that comes to my mind is move somewhere warm.
Yeah, I feel you.
Damn freezing and I can't deal with the cold in this country. Yeah. Today it's not too bad, admittedly. But probably have taken a rest. I think I relate to what you're saying, Iris, about just feeling really worn out almost, yeah. Or like just tired, because I think especially like you say, trying to make decisions from a place of overwhelm and loss is hard. So yeah, I think in the past when I've taken breaks, I haven't regretted it.
Yeah,
it's the decision to take the break that feels so pressurized, isn't it?
Yeah. So taking a break, and is there anything else when you think about, you know, if you did want to, you know, use the context that you have right now in some way in the future, what would you do? What would you wish you have done?
Well, what I was going to do today is I use Slack at work. I hate Slack, but I use Slack. So I made like my own Slack workspace for my business, which has like three channels. It's beautiful, just only three channels. And I just thought putting them all in there and saying, hey, this is a general channel, so we've got a space and I'll be in touch in the new year, just so that it's there. Yeah.
So that's perfect, right? So what if you start to tell yourself the story, I'm doing everything I need to right now to set myself up? If there's one thing I want to tell every single business owner, like, oh my God, I get so on my soapbox about it, it's your business is not your website. Your business is not your marketing strategy. Like, if everything burnt down tomorrow, the thing that I would want to have hold of is my subscription list. That is my business, because that is my way of reaching people that have said, hey, I'm interested in working with you. So if there's one thing I would say to people to put your energy into, it's having a way that you can contact whoever your customers and clients are and treat that like gold, right? Put your energy into that. No one cares about blogging anymore, really. I mean, kind of, but not in the same way. Put your energy into a continuous relationship that you're building with your potential clients. It's everything. And then when you are saying, hey, I've got this thing that I made, they're like, oh, that's that woman who sends me stuff that's super useful, interesting. I really enjoy her stuff. I already trust her. I already know her. Yeah. So this Slack channel that you've got, perfect.
Yeah.
And you want to have something that you own, right? So if there's a way to create a subscription list from that that feels good to you, it could just be that you have a very simple capture page to do that, then beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's just coming back down to like, that's enough, because once the worries start, then everything kind of sticks to them, doesn't it?
Small moves. Yeah. If there's one thing grief has taught me, grief and loss have taught me, it's fucking exhausting. There is no end to how exhausting it is. And it's exhausting in ways that are sort of bone tiring, you know? It's not just like a physical tiredness. It is like just energy depleting.
Mm. Yeah, most definitely. And I think having to be like on show for that is quite hard, you know, just I'm in a customer facing role. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think that what might help is to think of this as everyone you are in contact with right now. If they are your potential customers, it's like, oh no, I am in a customer facing role. It's just for my business now.
Mm.
Right? Yeah. Like, you get to show up in the way that it's yours. But yeah, mm-hmm. Small moves. Small moves. Be very gentle with you. Does that help you, Candida?
It does, yeah. Thank you, yeah. Everyone, so welcome. For just listening, and thank you, Seth. Yeah, appreciate it.
We're thinking of you. Yeah. Yeah. Lovely. Claire, I love that helped. Yeah. Takes the pressure off. Yeah, websites are great. Don't get me wrong. Fab. So good to be able to say to someone, hey, this is what I do. And I think we overcomplicate it and give it something. Because this is the question to ask yourself. If you think or suspect you're using your website as a protective mechanism, what do you do once your website's done? Right? Then you've got to go get your clients. So, you know, I know a lot of people that don't really have websites, but have very, you know, very much have a thriving business. And it's not because the website is necessary. It's because their business is their connection with their clients. However that shows up, if it's an email list or a social media channel. But yeah, it doesn't ever have to be the perfect representation of your business. You don't have to have your strap lines perfect or your marketing messages perfect. Like, people are responding to your energy. Yeah. So good. And it's that thing where for years I had like website shame, where I was like, oh, this isn't even really what I do anymore. So I want it to I want it to reflect who I am. But it didn't really need to happen as quickly as I thought it did.
I totally have that. I totally kind of cringe when people say, oh, I found your website. And I'm like, oh, oh really?
Yeah.
Shit, and you still came.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you went through that. Yeah. Yeah. So fun. Loves, it's a lot right now, you know? The world is big and scary and confusing and mad too, you know? So alongside all that global stuff, national stuff, personal stuff, there's just a lot happening. And it's winter where we are. Dale, you're much in a much nicer place. But you know, nature hibernates in winter. We go slow, go quiet. So you know, don't try and fight that as much as maybe you're tempted to. You know, I hope that today's helped just in the idea that you can kind of interrupt these all or nothing, the globalization, the emotional reasoning. They're all incredibly like understandable responses, and it doesn't have to be the news, right? We're not reporting the facts. We're just reporting a thin story that you can expand on and thicken up, make more interesting. Add some context, add some nuance, add some complexity. And you get to see, oh, I've got lots of choices here. There isn't just one thing. All right, loves, I'm going to let you go. If you want to come along to our coaching call tomorrow at 11, you're super welcome to do so. And we have co-working on Friday as well, if you want to come along and bring some stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so grateful that you're all here. I really just, yeah, totally adore you all and adore this work. And yeah, I'm still feel like I'm, Iris, I'm kicking myself that I get to do this. Yeah, so, so fun. Yeah. All right, loves, have a gentle day and I'll see you soon. Okay, lots of love. Bye-bye.